I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joining us on the line right now, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. So we've made a decision that we need to sort of, staff up a little bit. What's going on there, Tony?
Brian, we've talked about this before. Good morning, Jesse. And
good morning.
Brian, I just want to say that what we're seeing here is essentially the inevitable consequence, if you will, of some level of progress. As we take back terrain, part of what we have to do is sustain operations from that. And one of the things these folks are going in to do essentially is revamp and repurpose an airfield we've captured near Mosul. So we do see continued tactical success. The Pentagon and the senior folks I've talked to there are very confident that at the current pace, we're going to see a significant basically recontrol of northern Iraq from ISIS by Inauguration Day, possibly to the point of where we have pretty much 90 to 95% of Iraq back under our control. But the question still remains, what next? We have a problem with the fact that we're still using tactics in a strategic fight. ISIS is not necessarily only in Iraq. They're now metastasized. They're all over the planet. And more importantly, you've got to find a way to settle this question permanently. And simply taking back terrain and holding it does not bring a political solution to the long-term problems we've seen in that region.
All right. All right. So just a follow-up question. How is this sync up with what the president said the other day about not drawing down troops as quickly as proposed?
Well, I think he's learned some lessons, Brian. I mean, look, he's tried to manage this war, basically the whole Department of Defense, through a political messaging system which has no reality regarding the facts on the ground. So I think he's the basic facts on the ground have basically jumped up and slapped him in the face a couple times. So I think he's learned some lessons. With that said, if we actually sat down and did the numbers, we're talking about 20 to 50,000 people in the region right around Iraq. And I think if you actually took a hard look and did an audit, you probably got about between 10 and 15,000 troops, personnel, I should say, not just troops, in Iraq itself. So I think to manage just the capacity building, I have to say that working with our allies is taking a lot of troops. And it's always been more important the purpose and mission of those troops rather than the number. I think I'd like to believe that the Department of Defense is actually helping the president educate himself to be more effective in managing this in a way that will actually achieve some level of victory.
Hey, Tony, good morning. It's so good to talk to you. Well, you know, we keep hearing that they're on the run, and absolutely we know that they're not running, they're spreading. Where do you think some of the next threats are going, where they're going to reappear? If we're pushing them out of Iraq, where are they going, and where are they going to reengage?
Well, your question is completely on the mark. And yeah, it's kind of like, we push, it's like a balloon. You push them here and they go other places. And one of the places, to be blunt, is here. I've gotten several briefings from folks here in the area, in D.C., which tells us that we have an ISIS infrastructure now in place now. It's actually here. They're just trying to figure out a way to start recruiting individuals who are predisposed to doing very dangerous things like blowing themselves up. I think it's a matter of time. I think we'll see more in Europe. I think we're going to see a lot more in other countries. So Libya, for example, is totally chaotic. I think you're going to see more spread of ISIS in other parts of northern Africa. And unfortunately, Bangladesh and others in the Crescent area will also start seeing a lot of attacks. So I think what we've seen is while we are, again, doing tactical work, achieving some level of tactical victory, the strategic threat, that is, say, the ISIS moving out, spreading out, has not been in any significant way countered. And until we do that, ISIS will continue to grow.
I think a lot of people don't realize what's so important about Mosul. It's one of the biggest air bases are there, Qaria, and apparently that airstrip is significant. The Iraqi officials are saying they're going to move their headquarters in there. How does this help Iraq to get Mosul back?
Well, a lot. It'll give us two things. First, a significant and effective base of operations to basically bring more troops in. When you put an air base together, you get a significant area to also stage and run troops from. In Bagram, for example, in Afghanistan, we had a lot of activities that were not aviation-related going out of Bagram. The same sort of thing here. Secondly, this will allow us to bring in more tactical aircraft
right.
to actually hit into Syria. So I think that's what we need to look at, is how this will actually be very effective in helping our tactical game. Again, it will not help us strategically defeat ISIS.
Got about a minute left here, Tony. Sure. And I want to ask you about Hillary Clinton and whether or not she should continue or should get the national security briefings, given that we know she so carelessly handled national security secrets. By tradition, once you become the nominee, you get classified briefings.
Right. Both transition teams will start getting classified briefings immediately after the convention. Brian, let's be blunt here. I mean, I'm driving right now in traffic like a lot of other folks going towards the city. And if any other individual with a security clearance did what she did, they would be suspended. Their clearance would be suspended pending permanent revocation. So that should be the answer. Her clearance should be suspended pending permanent revocation. It's an administrative action. You don't have to be convicted of anything. But that should be the answer. And frankly, Brian, I'm appalled that she has been given some level. So I don't know what you would call it, other than a corrupt system has allowed her to maintain her clearance in a time when you or I or anyone else with a clearance would have been suspended and fired over similar actions.
Okay, listen, we want to ask what you think about that, because the Director of National Intelligence has said that he's going to give those, even though Paul Ryan, the Speaker, has said she should not, she's going to get those briefings. Do you think that's the right approach there? 888-630-9625, 1-888-630-WMAO. Tony Schaefer, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.